got it on my mind. The old song, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Amen. If there was ever a time that we as a church and the world as a whole need to have Jesus on their mind, today is the day.
Yes.
Amen. We bless the Lord. And as they said, there's so many things taking place. They're trying to, last week, Elder Gibbs talked about the crying party. But they're actually trying to pull a maneuver to have Trump replaced with Hillary Clinton as the president. Amen. Because of the Electoral College, they can, if they choose to, the electorals could override what has been done and make Clinton the president. And they have a petition that they're passing around because she had over 1 million more votes than Trump. So we don't know what's going to take place, but you know what? We don't worry because God has everything in His hands. Amen. I don't know what tomorrow brings, but how many know we know who goes tomorrow? That's why we got to have Jesus on our mind. We bless the Lord. We thank God for my wife. We bless her with the reasonable portion of health and strength. Amen. We thank God that she's still pressing. And we thank God for all of you. Amen. Give yourselves a hand of praise. His mercies endure forever. Amen. Let us stand at this time for our scripture reading, which will be coming from the 34th division of the book of Psalms. The 34th division of the book of Psalms. Amen. We want to read verses 9 and 19 together. How many come to bless? Amen.
Amen.
Come to be a blessing. How many want to be a blessing? Amen. If we ever get to the point in our spiritual walk with God where we take our attention off of ourselves and then we begin to love and to pray for one another, amen, we have seen that our situation isn't as bad as others. So let's continue to pray. Let's continue to believe God. Do we all have the 34th division of Psalms? And for those who do not have their Bible, it should be on the screen. Verse 9 reads, oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any. That's why you got the Lord. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of
all their troubles.
The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are a broken heart, and save as such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Let us pray. Lord, we bless your name today. Lord, we thank you, hallelujah, for this time of Thanksgiving. We thank you for the time to share with family and friends. And Lord, today as we are assembled together in thy holy temple, Lord, as we are assembled together in thy presence, we ask you to speak. Lord, we ask you to walk throughout the sanctuary. Lord, we ask you to search every heart. Lord, we ask you to search every mind. And then, Lord, we ask you to send a word of anointing to meet every need according to your riches and glory. And Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus for what we know you're going to do. And we bless you. from God. Amen. And we're going to take our thought out of the 17th and the 19th verse. The 17th verse says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth them and delivereth them out of." Who cried? The righteous cry. "And the Lord heareth them and delivereth them out of all their troubles." And verse 19 says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will." Many are the righteous, but the Lord will deliver. And with, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 12 and 13 of 1 Peter chapter 3. Amen. The Lord is a deliverer. That is our message today. The Lord is a deliverer. Amen. In the twilight of David's years, in the 2 Samuel, the 22nd chapter, he said, "The Lord is my rock, the Lord is my fortress, and the Lord is my deliverer." David learned something about God. Through all of his difficulties, he learned that when I don't have anywhere to stand, I can stand on the rock, and that the Lord is my rock. He said, "And then when I came into the rock, and my enemies all around me, the Lord is my fortress." In another portion, he said, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower where the righteous run into it and are saved." And he concluded that the Lord is my deliverer. Now, David didn't tell us this based on what he heard from others, but this was his testimony. As David, in the twilight of his years, began to reflect back of all the ways. Has God brought into us from a mighty long way? Has God done things past finding out into our lives? David began to look back, and he looked at all the times God had delivered him from the time of fighting with the bear and from fighting with the lion and Goliath. All of these deliverances, David said, "God is my deliverer." Yes. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 reads, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Then he said, "Who is he that can harm you if he befall from that which is good?" Amen. As long as you're doing good, you don't have to worry about anything, because the Lord is a deliverer. Amen. God will deliver you, as God has delivered us on many occasions. God is a deliverer. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, "The Lord knows how to deliver." God knows how to deliver, hallelujah, the godly out of temptations. So today, how many wants to come and deliver? God can deliver you from anything. The Bible says there is nothing too hard for our God. So who needs deliverance? God sees you, just give God a wave off. And if you don't have the strength to wave your hands, just put it on your heart, because God is a deliverer. So the scripture says the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Amen. So if I need help from God, I need to be in right standing. Yes. The Lord is one. a misconception, you know, I can just live any kind of way and that God will hear my prayer.
Jesus.
Amen. Let's go to the book of John, chapter 9. Now, his ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God will deliver him out of them all. So we can have problems, but just be right with God. If you're right with God, the Bible said there's no weapon that's formed against you that shall prosper. Now, a lot of people get that mixed up and think nothing's coming your way. He did not say that. The weapons will fall. Hallelujah. But because God will be standing between you and the enemy, they won't prosper. Then we say, praise the Lord. So, St. John's, the 9th chapter, and I give you just a lead up to where we're going, and we're going to go to verses 30 through 33. This man was born blind, which we went over not too long ago. Born blind. Now, when you're born blind, you know you need a what? Miracle. When you're born blind, you need really a deliverer to deliver you from that situation. He was born blind, but the man met Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody in trouble, it's time for you to meet Jesus. Listen, he was born blind. He was a grown man there, but he met Jesus. And when he met Jesus, Jesus opened his eyes. Hallelujah. And everybody was watching the young man and said, hey, isn't that the one that was born blind all of these years? How is it that he see? He met Jesus. And when he met Jesus, Jesus opened his blind eyes. And he had been born since he had been blind since he was born. But the religious leader said he can't be of God because he didn't follow the protocol. He didn't follow the script. This is the Sabbath day, and you're not supposed to heal on the Sabbath day. In another place, Jesus asked the religious people, watch religious people, I just want to be saved.
Amen.
How many just want to be saved?
Amen.
Religious people always got an action run. So the religious people say, hey, he can't be of God because he healed somebody on. So Jesus asked him a question. He said, is it wrong to do good on the Sabbath? He said, is it wrong to heal on the Sabbath? And the religious people just wouldn't answer a word. They just wouldn't answer. Because Jesus wasn't working like they think, like they thought it should work. I'm so glad that when God saved me, I said I'm so glad that when God saved me, I'm so glad he didn't do it like everybody else thought. I'm so glad he didn't save me like they said that he had to be saved. But I heard somebody say, I went to the church one night and my heart wasn't right. But do you know something?
Yes.
I said something got a hold of me. Hallelujah. I went down in Jesus' name. I came up walking a new walk. And ever since that wonderful day, my soul been satisfied. So you know what changed me? I met Jesus. Hallelujah. I met the Lord. Hallelujah. I had a whole lot. That God does not hear sinners. Why? Because his ears are washed my sins away. Since he gave me a fresh start, hallelujah, what a wonderful change in my life. But you know, there are sometimes people don't believe God has really changed us. So they like to test us. Ain't anybody ever been tested? So I don't really believe you got all that Jesus in you like you say. I heard somebody say, I got like the Bible says. Yes. Amen. I didn't get like a man told me. I didn't like God said. But anyway, they're debating whether or not Jesus is of God. And they say, well, how can he perform a miracle if he is not of? They said, never since the creation of man has a man been born blind and got healed from his blindness. So they're debating, is he? What is he? He's a deliverer. That's what he is. He's a deliverer. So, verse 30 of this ninth chapter, you can read the in between. The man that was healed, they didn't really believe that he was born blind. Jesus. Listen, when God changes your life, they're going to open you a whole lot of people that's going to knock it and try to put you down and don't believe that you're really saved. Hold on to Jesus. Make your stand for Jesus. Don't you allow anybody or anything to talk you out of your salvation. Well, listen to this. If anybody sees somebody that was born blind and all of a sudden they're able to see, wouldn't you be rejoicing? Right? The normal thing, you would do what?
Rejoice.
You'd be happy that someone was healed. But when you have your religious prejudice, or your religious biases, or I've heard people say for years, God don't work like that. You know how God works? Like he wants to work. Right? God works like he wants to work. Well, they say, all right, he don't work like that. But when Israel got to the Red Sea, he had never did what he did at the Red Sea before. They got to the Red Sea. The Red Sea was an obstacle in front, and the enemy was closing in behind. And I said, God, don't work like that. All God told Moses, he said, stretch forth. He said, stretch forth the rod. And the Bible said, when Moses was obedient, because God hears the prayers of the, when Moses stretched forth the rod, the Bible said, the winds began to blow. Hallelujah. And the waters parted, and it came in war. And God said, just to let you know that I'm God, if man did this, you'd be slipping this line. You'd be going across a mud and mire. But when God blew the wind, he said, they went too long. Dry ground, right? And somebody said, well, God don't work like that. God does what he wants, when he wants to. At that time, he wanted to part the waters. Right? But in the case of Jesus, he said, you can just walk on the water. Always putting out how God can't do. The scripture says, is there anything too hard for God? And then Jeremiah qualifies that a little bit. I'm coming to John in the ninth chapter. I'm coming. If y'all just stay with me. I'm coming back. Come on, let you know there is a way that you have to pray for God to answer your prayers. Amen. You got to pray a righteous prayer. You just can't pray anyway. Well, when Israel came to the walls of Jericho, somebody said, God don't work like that. You can't speak to walls and have them fall down. If God tells you to do it, look at somebody and say, just do it. This ain't like your wilderness. I'm saying when God tells you to do it, just do it. You don't have to figure it out because you're trying to figure out what God has to do. But Jeremiah said, listen, this is a God that can do anything. He said, just to let you know how much power he has, he said he spoke this world into existence.
Yes.
Anybody know how big the world is? If God can speak the world into existence, you really can't speak to our little circumstances? Is it? Well, when they got to the walls of Jericho, they did what God says. The reason that we don't have our deliverance is because we try to figure out what God is doing. You know, wait a minute. God said, now, Jericho was a mighty fortress. Everyone feared Jericho. But the people in Jericho feared God. They said when they got to the walls of Jericho, that city was shut up. They wouldn't let nobody in, and they wouldn't let nobody out because they heard the Jews were coming. But the Lord did something unconventional in a war. God works like he, look at somebody and say, he works like he want to work. So don't you try to figure it out because you won't be able to figure it out. The Bible says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgment and his ways are. You cannot figure God out. Amen. Because he's too wide. So the Lord does something so unconventional. He says, when you get to wall of Jericho, walk around the city one day. One time, that first day, he said, don't say a word. He said, repeat the same thing for 6 days. Walk around the city one time, but don't say a word. Now, you can imagine the people in Jericho that were up on the wall watching. It's like, what in the world? Seriously, what in the world? We thought these people had some power. What in the world are they doing? All they're doing is just like walking around the wall, and then they're leaving? They didn't know what God was about to do. He said, do that for 6 days. He said, but then on the seventh day, I want you to walk around the wall 7 times. He said, and then on the 7th time, when you get the message he wants, I want you to shout. Something about praise. Something about shouting. Miracle, and you're trying to figure out the miracle. I've been so glad. Listen, Don't harden your heart. God never told us to figure it out. He said just walk in obedience. And if you walk in obedience and you trust me, you have the assurance from me. I will not lie and I will not let you down. I, throughout the years, I've seen so many people that try to clean themselves up to come to God. The Bible asks a question. I don't know. I'm going here for a minute. Y'all understand? That's that pastor all over the place. I just tried to be there. The Bible asks a question. It says, what unclean thing can make itself clean? So I said, I got to get myself ready. No. All in the day that you hear my voice, the Bible says, harden up, just come. Then the scripture said, what filled in us in all of our righteousness, we are nothing more than a only God can clean us up. You know how I know? Because I know how dirty I used to be. So I don't tell you about somebody else. I know what God has done for me. Hallelujah. When I stepped in the water was cold. Shield my body. Now listen, when we got saved, this is the real truth. They used to break the ice. Remember Matt on top of the pool, down in the basement. So when we said we stepped in the water was cold. That water was so cold it had ice on it. Right? But it chilled my body, but not my soul. And ever since that wonderful day, I said, ever since that wonderful day, my soul's been satisfied. All right, I gotta read this before. John 30 said, then the man answered and said unto them, why it is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, and yet he is open. He said, the proof is in front of you. Now, this is another way to say, anybody ever know somebody who used to be a real bad individual? Amen. Listen, don't know somebody, before they got saved. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe all of us, right? I'm saying, you see what God did? Wow. Look at the change in the man. The man said, he is a marvelous thing. You trying to figure God out? Don't you see the right? It's right in your eyes. What are you trying to figure out? God has already done it. Amen. So you're trying to figure out, but the proof is, he said, here is a marvelous thing. God has opened my eyes. And he said, now we know that God. You want God to hear you. You can't be. Now, who's this speaking? This is John writing about Jesus. God hears God because his ears are open to the prayers of the. Somebody said, my life is not changing. I'm not getting no victory. I'm not getting no advantage. Are you righteous? Or are you living a double life? Righteousness delivereth from death. That's what the Bible says.
All right. Amen.
Righteousness does not even only deliver us from our present situation, but righteousness delivers from death. Amen. So somebody said, I keep praying, I keep asking God, it's not changing. Are you living? Righteousness is not according to our standards of holiness. Right? Because there is true holiness, and then there's a holiness that has been created. To create the holiness so you can live any kind of way, just go ask God for mercy. That's created holiness. The right holiness is be ye holy. God said, for I am holy. Well, what is holy? You have to live as pure a life as you can. So he said, and we know that God heareth not sinners. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man was not a God, he could do. Who are you saying? Just me. Anybody ever see someone? I know. When I go see my friend, when I go back to Georgia, it's been a few years. It's been a couple of years. Maybe 5 years. Like I say, when I was 19, 5 years. I'm about 24 now. That's good. Better be righteous, right? I'm going to tell the truth. All right, so I've been saved for 40 years. Don't try to add up 40, 19 to figure out that it means 29. All right. But when I go back and see my friends, and they look at me, you know what they say? A lot of them say, I wish I had done what you did when you did it. Right? Because a lot of them, their minds are messed up on drugs. Amen. A lot of them just don't have no peace. A lot of them have more health challenges than anything. They said, I wish that I had done what you did. And matter of fact, I was walking with my wife, who they thought was my daughter one time. True story. Walking with my wife, who they thought was my daughter, and they said, boy, you haven't changed throughout the years. What is your secret? J-E-S-U-S. That's the secret. She met Jesus. And when you meet Jesus, not only does he deliver you, but he sustains you. He makes ways out of
no way.
They said, how do you look the same age like you look when you were in high school? That's a good thing. They'll never tell me that. When you meet Jesus, Jesus changes you. And it's marvelous when other people can see you and look at you and say, wow, you're not the same person that you used to be. Well, it's not because of my own holiness or my own righteousness, but I met Jesus. And the Lord has changed me. Now, I know we're on a time restraint, so I'm not going to go too much further. But how many know God is not only a deliverer, but he's a speedy deliverer? God doesn't have to take a year to deliver you. Just live right and ask him, and he'll deliver you immediately. Amen. I know people that when they got saved, they were strung out on drugs. They went down in the water and they ain't never touched another drug. I know people that were alcoholics. I'm talking about when you go down for the right reasons. Now, I'm not saying get baptized because somebody says, but I'm saying you have a true encounter with Jesus. When you have a true encounter with Jesus, your life will never be the same. I know people that were strung out on alcohol, got baptized. Matter of fact, the one person, I think Bishop Golden, was drunk when he got saved. He came out of the water sober. True story. Why? Because there's power in the water. There's power in baptism. Amen. I know another individual was in an institution and lost their mind, got baptized in Jesus' name, and they've been a runner for Jesus for over 40 years. Why? There's power in the water. So God doesn't have to take a long time to deliver you. If you're righteous and live right, God can deliver you immediately. The scripture said, Isaiah went to Hezekiah and told him, he said, set your house in order because you're about to die. And Hezekiah did the only thing that he knew to do. He didn't run to anybody else, but he turned his room, his face to the wall, and began to cry out to God. Amen. Now, listen, remember, Isaiah's up here talking to me. Before he even walked out the doors in the back, God said, I heard his prayer. And God doesn't have to take a long time to deliver you. If you can say, like Hezekiah said, he said, Lord, remember how I walked before you in truth and with a perfect heart, and I've done that which is good in your sight. God said, wait a minute, you're telling me the truth. And because you're telling me the truth, I have to honor your prayer. He said, even though I gave judgment, he said, I reverse the judgment. Not only will I reverse the judgment, he said, but I've added 15 years to your life. Well, what did it take? Instant healing. Instant deliverance. Amen? I don't want to take a whole long time. Can we just go, can we close in Psalms 102? We'll close in Psalms 102. You don't have to take a long time to get delivered. Just trust and believe God. And trust and believe that the Lord is a deliverer. Many people have not yet been delivered because they try to do what God has to do. So this is how good God is. We're just going to go to verses 1 and 2 or 102, so I'm going to be a lot longer. This is how good God is. God God doesn't ask us to figure out what he wants to do. He said, just walk in faith and walk in obedience. And then you will see the exceeding greatness of my power.
Hallelujah.
If you just walk in faith and walk in obedience, God never tells us to figure out how we can do it. Because we cannot figure out how God can wash away all our sins and give us a brand new start. Amen. Before Jesus was resurrected, who resurrected? Nobody. Amen. And there are some instances. I'm talking about somebody resurrected, and then they came back and said, all power.
All power.
He's the first, and he is the last. He's the Alpha, and he is the Omega. He's the beginning, and he is the end. He's the Lord of lords, and he is the King of kings. There ain't nobody like our God. Hallelujah. When he went down in the grave, the grave couldn't hold Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. I heard somebody say, because he had us all in mind.
Yes.
Because if the grave held Jesus, we wouldn't be saved today. Amen. So the grave couldn't hold him. So you know how good God is? He went down into hell. And he told Satan, I want those keys. Read about it in Revelation. He said, I want the keys. So Satan is trying to hold on to the keys. He said, no, I want the keys. Because I want the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. So then he went down. This is how good God is. He went down, unlocked him, and he said to Peter, he preached to all those prison, all those spirits that was in prison. And then in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, he said, I can finish preaching. He led captivity captive. And I said, nobody else can do that but Jesus. You can read about Buddha. You can read about Muhammad and all the other armies of Buddha.
Right?
Ain't none of them led captivity captive. And then, just to show you how much power he had, if you go into the 26th chapter of Matthew, he said he brought all those dead saints and walked around. Spiritual prison. Don't you know he can save us? Don't you know he can deliver us? In closing, David the psalmist was at a low point in his life. Anybody at a low point, don't raise your hand. Just think to yourself. If you're at a low point, you need a savior. Now, the thing about a low point is we can disguise those things. You can disguise a low point till you get by yourself. Right? And then the truth of the matter comes out. So if you had a low point in your life, David was at a low point. And he prayed this prayer. Verse 1 says, hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. He said, hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear. In the day when I call, he said, in the day when I call, answer me speedily. And we already read that the Bible said that many are the afflictions of the righteous. But how many know that the Lord will deliver him out of them all? But you have to obey him in order to have deliverance. You can't walk any kind of way because the scripture said, God heareth not. So a whole lot of people are praying, but are they living righteous? It's not for me to decide. Amen. Because the Bible says we must all give an account, but the day of judgment is coming. you're forever delivered.
Yes, yes.
Right? Because God will walk with you as long as you walk with him. See, that's a misconception. I know they got this eternal security, once saved, always saved. Well, if you read about that in the Bible, it talks about those that have been saved in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, and a couple of chapters, and fall away to renew them again unto repentance. He said there's no repentance. So if you fall away to renew them again unto repentance, and you crucify the Son afresh and put them to an open shame, you ain't saved. Just plain and simple. That's what the scripture said. So don't believe you can get saved and live like a hellion and think you're going to go to heaven. All Adam did was what? Disobeyed God. And as a result of disobedience, he was. Paradise represented heaven. We have to be obedient to God. Don't listen to what people are saying. You know, I love a scripture. It's been one of my favorite scriptures. In the day that you seek after him with. A lot of people are seeking God, but they're half-heartedly seeking him. And then they can't figure out why they don't have a true change, a true conversion. Why don't I have true deliverance? Because they're not seeking him with all. He said, in the day that you seek after me with all your heart, then shall you. The fault is never in God. The fault always comes back to us. That's all sin. The Lord will deliver us. It didn't say God might deliver us, but the Lord will deliver. Why? Because God knows how to deliver the God. If you ever make your stand for God, you have forever have a God that will stand for you. But you can't half-heartedly stand for God as the elders, the altar workers come forward. Today, God will deliver you. God can deliver you, but you have to walk in obedience. Listen, just think to yourself. I know when I'll give you my small testimony in closing. I used to pray every night and say, Lord, I want to change. And I tried to change so many times, but then I get up the next day and do the same thing over. I got so frustrated because I grew up in church, but I never had a true encounter with God. So I would do the same thing over and over and over and over. And I remember nights I would go on my knees praying, and because I hadn't done the right thing, I would get up the next morning. And I used to live at West Point. I walk along the railroad track just praying and asking God to forgive me. But I didn't have the power to change. But once I went down in the water, all of that stuff I was trying to change, God changed it instantly. If you really need a change today, don't try to figure it out. Don't try to do it on your own, but let Jesus do it in the gifts. Hallelujah.